We read God's Word this morning from the first epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to Timothy chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2, considering as the text this morning verses 5 through 7 of this chapter. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Thus far we read God's Word this morning. I'll reread the text, which is verses 5 through 7. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, our Savior, has determined to reconcile sinners to Himself. The text proclaims that glorious gospel. God has determined to save sinners, and that salvation is reconciliation between God and sinners. That's a wonderful truth. Reconciliation is the removal of the natural enmity and opposition that exists between God and sinful men, and further is the restoration of a relationship of friendship, a relationship of peace and harmony and everlasting blessedness between God and His people. Now there is only one way for sinful men to have that reconciliation with God, and that is because there is only one God. There is only one God with whom men, to be saved, must be reconciled. And that one God is revealed here to be the Savior. Salvation is according to His will. That means He determines and dictates the way for men to be saved and reconciled to Himself. God does not allow man, even though he tries to invent different ways of salvation and reconciliation, to do so. Beloved, the word of God in the text is that God has planned and carried out the one way of reconciliation to Himself. And that way of reconciliation is revealed in the text in the words, "And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The way of reconciliation to God, that means, is through that one mediator, through Jesus Christ, who is revealed here to be the man Christ Jesus. This means that you and I, who need reconciliation because of our sins, cannot reconcile ourselves to God. Of course not. Because we are sinners who continue in sin, we only make ourselves worthy of the enmity that we have by nature with God. And were we to look anywhere else in the world for a mediator, and were we to try to attempt to take another mere creature other than the man Jesus Christ and use that creature as our mediator to reconcile us to God, that would fail too. We cannot use a lamb, we cannot use a goat or a calf or any other creature to reconcile us to God, for God has determined that reconciliation must be made by man himself. We need a man to represent us. We need a man to ransom us from our sins. We need a man to reconcile us to God. And the gospel of the text is that we have that mediator in the man Christ Jesus. There is salvation for sinners through Jesus Christ. There is salvation for all kinds of sinners through Jesus Christ. Remember the context. There is salvation for rulers as well as people of lower classes in society through Jesus Christ. There is salvation for men and women and for children and for all kinds of sinners through this one mediator who sent from the one God to reconcile His people to Himself. Beloved, this is the gospel of salvation to all who believe. Do you believe this gospel revealed by God, beginning with the preaching of the Apostle Paul and continuing to be revealed through the preaching today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the one mediator who made the ransom? And that we might believe that, God has not only given us the preaching of the gospel, but He has also given to us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper so that we may see and believe Jesus Christ, God's Son, who made the ransom, reconciling us, therefore, to God. Let's consider that this morning as we consider this text under the theme, Ransomed by the Only Mediator. And we'll notice in the first place the only mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Secondly, we will notice the amazing ransom that He made. And then thirdly, we will consider the certain salvation. The text sets before us this morning the truth, the wonderful truth, that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. That means that men do not stand directly before God themselves. The mediator stands between God and sinful men. And the goal of the mediator is, in this case, to reconcile sinful men to God. His goal is to establish a relationship of friendship and peace between them. That's always the goal of a mediator who seeks to settle a dispute and bring two parties together in peace and harmony with each other. This goal is reached by the mediator by removing the cause for the dispute. And in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to accomplish the goal of bringing men and God together in a relationship of friendship, must remove man's offense. He must reconcile, you see, God and sinners. God who is righteous. God who is holy. God who has not moved away from man. God who has not changed. God did not offend man. God did not determine to become man's enemy. Man is the sinner. Man is the one who moved away from God and chose the side of God's enemy, the devil. That is how we must view the sin of our first father Adam, who plunged us and the entire human race into sin. That sin was an act of deliberate rebellion against God. That sin was a willful choice on Adam's part to become God's enemy. When he broke the law of God, he said, "I do not want to live in subjection to God, but I will live in enmity with Him." That is how we must also view all of our sins, which we know are transgressions of the law of God, meaning that our sins are deliberate attempts to rebel against God and overthrow God. This speaks of part of the wonder of Jesus' work as our mediator. His goal is not to reconcile God to us. His goal is to take us, sinful people who don't deserve God's friendship, and make us God's friends again. This is the covenant. That's the goal of Jesus' mediation, to establish the covenant as a bond of friendship between God and His people. And that's why Hebrews in chapter 8, verse 6 and chapter 12, verse 24 calls Jesus Christ the mediator of the covenant. He brings the people of God into friendship with God. That's what Jesus does as the mediator. He is called as the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. The apostle, by speaking of Jesus as a man, is not denying his divinity. There are some who twist the text that way to teach that the apostle is making a distinction between God, the one God, and Jesus Christ, who is a man and only a man. But by saying that Jesus Christ is a man, the apostle is only teaching what the whole of Scripture teaches, that the Christ, the Savior of the people of God, is and must be a real man. And the apostle is not at all denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. Paul himself speaks of the divinity of Jesus Christ in many places in the New Testament. For example, in Romans 9, verse 5, he says that Christ is God blessed over all, or God blessed forever. And in the context there, he speaks of Jesus Christ who came in our flesh. In other words, the apostle in Romans 9, verse 5 speaks of the fact that Jesus is a man and yet is God blessed forever. And so Paul teaches, and the entire Scriptures teach, that Jesus is both God and man. But the human nature of Jesus Christ is emphasized here so that we may look to Jesus Christ and identify Him as our legal representative. The apostle is referring to Jesus Christ as the man who was born of the Virgin Mary. And through that birth, he became a man like us in all points, in everything, a man with a human body, human flesh, human blood, and a human soul, except, of course, without sin. This is symbolized to us also in the Lord's Supper this morning. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He clearly taught and held before us and the disciples His human nature. This bread, He said, is my body, and this wine is my blood. This is important. In order to view Jesus Christ as our mediator, who can represent us, we must be able to say He is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. And part of the beauty of what this text reveals to us this morning is that Jesus Christ took a human nature that is common to all men, not just to the Jews. There might be some who would have thought that Jesus Christ is only the mediator and the Savior of the Jews. After all, He was promised to the Jews in the Old Testament. He came in the line of Jews, of Abraham and his descendants. His mother was a Jew, and the flesh and blood Jesus took upon Himself was Jewish flesh and blood. And yet, the Scriptures reveal to us that God, from the beginning, even in the Old Testament, had determined to save not only Jews, but all kinds of people. And we may be sure that as Gentiles, Jesus Christ took our human nature and represents us. This is what the apostle is teaching here when he says there is one mediator who gave Himself a ransom for all. The fact that Jesus was born a Jew, the flesh and blood of Mary, does not mean He cannot represent me and you. He does. He took our human nature. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17 reminds us of the truth that in the beginning, God made of one man all nations of men. We share the same flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can, He does represent us. But there's one mediator. The apostle emphasizes that. There is one and only one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. This is denied, as you know, by the Roman Catholic Church. There are many mediators. Jesus is one among many. In addition to Jesus Christ, the Pope is a mediator. And the saints, especially the saints in heaven, including the Virgin Mary, serve as mediators. And this passage is interpreted to teach that because they say, the apostle says, He is one mediator. The apostle does not say He is the only mediator. But it is easy to see that the apostle means to teach that Jesus is the one and only mediator when we compare that statement with the statement that begins verse 5, for there is one God. Now, the apostle does not say there is one and only one God. But we all know that the Scriptures teach that there is one and only one God. There is no other God. And therefore, when the apostle says there is one mediator between God and men, he means there is one and only one mediator between God and men. One man through whom we can have reconciliation with God. The church is not our mediator. The angels are not mediators. The saints are not mediators. The man, Jesus Christ only, is our mediator. This is the honor that the Apostle Paul gives to Jesus Christ. Now we ask, why is that? What is unique about Jesus that makes him the only mediator. Well, he can represent us, we saw, because he is a man. That qualifies him to be our representative. But this mediator must also represent God. The mediator represents man and God in order to stand between the two of them and to reconcile man with God. And you see, it's not enough for Jesus Christ to be a man to represent God. The mediator must bring sinful people into fellowship with God. He must go to God, and he must speak on behalf of sinful people. And it's clear to see that a sinful man could never do this. No, God will never accept the mediation of one who is guilty of sin. Because that man must bear the wrath of God for sin. There is no compromise, no reconciliation with a sinner. The mediator must then be without sin. He must be perfectly holy and righteous. That's Jesus Christ alone. He alone was born without the guilt of sin, the sin of Adam. He alone was preserved by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary so that he was kept free of sin. He alone lived a perfect and sinless life. And therefore, he has the qualification that is needed to be the representative of God. He is righteous and perfectly holy. But there's another reason he can represent God. And that is that he is himself God. We must remember that while the apostle is teaching, Jesus Christ has a human nature, he also has a second nature, a divine nature. And we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is not two people with two natures. He is one person who has two natures, and the one person of Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. He is a divine person. Therefore, we can have confidence that when Jesus Christ says that he will represent us and God, that God will accept Jesus Christ as our mediator. Because he is God himself. He knows what God demands. He knows what God desires for there to be reconciliation between himself and sinners. And therefore, Jesus Christ, as Emmanuel, God with us, is the one and only mediator. And here we see something of the deep truth that is set before us concerning this mediator. Don't you see that it's not sinful man who desires and seeks reconciliation with God, but it's God himself who desires and seeks reconciliation with sinful men, sinful women who have offended him, despised and rejected him. It's not the case, you see, that if it were up to God that he would cast all sinners into hell, but that it's only because Jesus Christ has come and convinced him that God saves sinners. But this is the will of God, our Savior, to save his people through the mediator, Jesus Christ. God provides the mediator. God provides salvation for his people. And that's why there is salvation, and that's why there is one mediator. God saves, God provides, one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. And in his work as the mediator, Jesus Christ gave the ransom that makes reconciliation between God and sinners possible. The ransom that Jesus Christ gives is Himself. The Apostle is speaking about the sacrifice of Himself Jesus made on the cross to pay the ransom price that releases sinners from their sin and guilt and death. As mediator, then, Jesus Christ fulfills the office of the high priest. That office is referred to in the title that the apostle uses, the title Christ. He is the man Christ Jesus. He is the anointed one of God, the one anointed by God to be our prophet and our king, but also our high priest. God appointed the high priest to make the sacrifice that pays for the sins of His people. Jesus Christ fulfills that office. And the sacrifice He gave is Himself. On the cross, Jesus Christ laid down His own life, gave actively, willingly, His life to ransom His people. We have, therefore, a substitute. That's what the passage is speaking about. We deserve to die for our own sins. We deserve to be punished with everlasting hell because of the sins that we have committed before God. This is what Jesus Christ, as the mediator, does for us to reconcile us to God. He dies in our place for our sins, and He bears in our place the punishment and the wrath of God that is eternal hell for us. And this is a ransom that Jesus makes. That means that by giving His life, by suffering in our place for our sins, Jesus Christ makes the payment that delivers us from sin and punishment. We can look at the cross of Jesus Christ and know that's what His death means. It means the payment is made and we are free. We know that's what it means when we look at Him as the man, Christ Jesus. When we look at Him as the man who is able to represent us and take our place, we look at Him as the man who is perfectly innocent and therefore did not die for His own sins. That means He had to die for our sins, for the sins of His people. And we look at Him as the man who is also God, who therefore is able to endure the eternal weight of the wrath of God, and not be crushed by it, but to come out again out of hell, to give life and freedom to His people. Jesus Christ died to make payment for sin. We must see that when we look at the cross of Christ. And the amazing thing about that ransom is that it was a once-for-all payment for all of the sins of the people of God. This is what the Apostle teaches when he says, He gave Himself a ransom for all. Now, all you remember here and in the context, in verses 1 and 4, does not mean every person. Does not mean that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitute for every man and woman. All, rather, you remember, means all kinds of people. God's will for the church in verse 1 is that the church pray for all kinds of men. Not for every man by name, but for every rank of men and every rank of women, for every nation and race of men, for all kinds of people. And God's will in verse 4 is not to save every person, but all kinds of men. And so here in verse 6, Jesus Christ did not give Himself a ransom for every person, but for all kinds of people. And the apostle, as he says in the context, emphasizes that Jesus Christ died for rulers as well as for subjects. He died for wealthy men as well as for poor men. And now here in the text, the apostle emphasizes Jesus Christ died for Gentiles as well as for Jews. In the Old Testament, salvation was of the Jews. That is true. And it was quite a surprise, a shock to many Jews especially, that God had determined now in the New Testament, this is the due time and season, that God has determined to save Gentiles too. But what the apostle points out is that while that was a shock to the Jews, this was no shock to God. This was not a new plan to God. This was God's plan from all eternity, that He only determined to begin to reveal in due time, beginning with the ministry and the missionary activity of the Apostle Paul, and continuing on throughout the entire New Testament. This is God's will, to save sinners from every nation, tribe, and tongue, all kinds of people. And why are all of the elect saved by God? Because Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary for all of them. It happened a long time ago, didn't it? Jesus' death on the cross. But this is the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached and that continues to be preached. He paid for all of the sins of His people in every age unto the end of the world. When we look at Jesus Christ, then, we may see our ransom, that the price was paid to deliver us from sin's guilt and the death we deserve. This truth that Jesus Christ made the ransom, the one payment for all the sins of His people for all time, is what Jesus Christ communicates through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul understood that. He told the church in Corinth that when you gather together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, you do thereby show the death of the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. So that the church in every age, as she partakes of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, sees in that sacrament the ransom has been made. We remember through the death of Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, and His giving of Himself as a ransom is seen in the broken bread and in the poured out wine. Jesus Christ testifies to us by those symbols, I have paid the price. You're free. And salvation through the mediator, Jesus Christ, who made this ransom, is certain. Every one of the elect will be saved. Every Jew, every Gentile, every man, woman, and child in every age. Now to the end of the world, not one will go lost. All will be saved. And that's because Salvation is the will and the work of the one God. God Almighty. God who from all eternity determined to save His people. God who in order to fulfill His will sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to give Himself as a ransom for the sins of His people. God's way is the only way of salvation. It is also the certain way. Because God's way of salvation is the way that provides deliverance from sin and guilt. And therefore, the way of reconciliation with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you embrace with a believing heart the death of Jesus Christ as the ransom for your sins? Then I say to you with the Apostle Paul, the truth in Christ Jesus, and I lie not. You are saved by the one God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen.